new study assessing the relationship between young people's mental health and where they grow up could influence urban and rural planning. Researchers at the University of Canterbury are mapping localities and investigating whether living near gaming venues, liquor stores and takeaway shops, or green and blue areas like parks and rivers, are linked to mental health. One in four young Kiwis have a mental health issue before they turn 18, with Māori and Pacifica overrepresented. It's hoped this research will help community advocates persuade policymakers to take heed and include findings from the two-year study in future planning. Co-investigator on this project, senior lecturer in public health at the GeoHealth Lab at the School of Health Sciences, University of Canterbury, Matt Hobbs is my guest. Kia ora, Matt.
Kia ora, thanks for having us on.
It's a pleasure, thank you. Let's have a look at the issue at hand. In fact, what sparked this idea of mental health being linked to urban and rural areas?
So we've done a lot of projects down at the GeoHealth Lab, and what we're interested in is looking at how our environment that surrounds us is related to our behaviours and related to our health outcomes like obesity or mental health. And I should thank A Better Start National Science Challenge and Cure Kids for funding this research. And they've brought together a range of different researchers from across the country to complete this project. And the reason we're interested in this is because a lot of the time we focus on the individual, and actually mental health is a complex issue that has multiple influences on it, and one of those influences is the environment in which a young person grows up in. So we're really interested in looking at, are there particular types of environments within New Zealand that are particularly bad for mental health, and are there particular types of environments that are particularly good for a young person's mental health?
Because as I was, you know, thinking about this interview, I was thinking, well, gosh, you know, my childhood in the 60s, it was very different. There was lots of green down in Dunedin. We'd go running. We were allowed to go play because also there was less concern, you know, as we have safety now and the helicopter parenting. We were just thrust out there, you know, and got on with life. I mean, so are you looking historically as well as what's happening now? Because times have changed so radically.
Yeah, what we're doing is we're taking a cross-section of basically a million young New Zealand adults at the minute, and we're looking at the whole country. So we've got a really large group of young people, and it's going to be the first time that we've had such a large number of young New Zealanders within our research. And times have changed in terms of the way that we interact with our environment, but what we're particularly interested in is the current day and what do our current environments mean for our young people. And as you said at the start, we have now this kind of increase of things like liquor stores, places where people can gamble, combined with other things like fast food outlets that weren't perhaps as around as much back in the 1960s and 70s as they are now. So the environment that we're surrounded by has changed, and it doesn't always push us in the most healthy of directions. When we try to make those healthy changes in terms of our behaviours and our health outcomes, often the environment that we're living in now is pushing us in the wrong direction.
So are you looking at the behaviour of the children, but also of their parents? So if you're talking gaming venues and casinos and so forth, are you looking at the impact on the family? So if the parents are have a gambling addiction or have too ready access to alcohol, then that's impacting on the families.
Yeah, what we're doing in this is we've got children from age 10 to 24. So across that spectrum, obviously there's a change where children and young people can access gambling and liquor stores themselves once they turn 18 and move into young adulthood. So what we're interested in is just that young person, and basically looking at what we do in research is basically look at these things in isolation. So we have people that look at green spaces, for example, and then we have other people that look at liquor stores. But what we're doing is we're saying, well, actually, if we have a park, which is great in our neighbourhood, but it's surrounded by liquor stores and places where young people can go to gamble, or even things like fast food outlets or dairies. What that means is that all of these things may combine to influence a young person's mental health, but we've not looked at these things in terms of a combined influence. What we do is we look at these things in isolation. So we're going to take into account the whole neighbourhood and a lot of different features within a neighbourhood and how that relates to the child's mental health specifically.
We probably should look at the mental health conditions that you are specifically looking at, Matt.
Yes. So some of the so we're looking at often again we lump all these mental health conditions in as one group. But what we've done is we've split them into four types. So we're splitting them into emotional. So that's looking at depression and anxiety, behavioural. We're looking at self-harm and also substance abuse. So what we're saying is, you know, there may be particular types of environments that are particularly important for depression and anxiety as compared to self-harm. And again, we'll be exploring those different mental health conditions in young people, which are particularly important for modern day New Zealand, with, you know, mental health being one of the biggest public health challenges that New Zealand faces.
So it sounds to me that it's too easy to say green and blue space, good. Other spaces, bad. Because as you say, if you have a good space surrounded by bad spaces, then it's still problematic. So when you've collated this material, and we'll talk about your maps at the moment, how do you hope that this information can be used to help our atrocious mental health situation for our vulnerable young people?
Well, I think there's a few different ways we can look at this. So I think for too long we've focused on the individual, but we know that mental health is complex in terms of what causes it. So what by changing the environment and by, you know, this mirrors recent government health reforms, which have shifted a focus away from treatment to prevention, and we can make structural changes to our environments that are around us to try and better promote public health, because we shouldn't be leaving it to individuals, families or communities to change the environment that they're living in. We have to drive, and if we provide the evidence that supports that, drive those changes so that we encourage healthy behaviours. And as you said at the start, if there are certain groups within the New Zealand population which are overrepresented in terms of mental health issues for Maori and Pacifica, which are overrepresented, and they're also overrepresented in terms of the environment that they live in. So Maori and Pacific and disadvantaged populations often live closer to liquor stores, they have more fast food outlets, fewer green spaces. So all of these things need to be taken into account now when we're trying to create healthier environments for young people.
I mentioned, Matt, that you produced some maps, and we have them up on the 9 to Noon webpage. It's well worth having a look. We're looking at Christchurch, Auckland and Wellington. Can you just talk us through, are they very different, or are you finding similarities between these three cities?
So what we've done is we've produced a few different maps looking at how close the good things in the environments are. So we have five different goods. So these are things like the green spaces, the parks, the physical activity facilities and leisure centres and fruit and vegetable stores. And then we also had the bad things. So these are things like the liquor stores, the gambling venues and the takeaways and dairies. And what we saw, interestingly, was that across quite a lot of our major urban areas, there are pockets of areas that have particularly good access to these environmental bads. And also, when we combine these things together, particularly in, for example, Christchurch and different parts of Auckland, there are areas that have quite a lot of these things that would be bad for your mental health, but also not many goods. So, you know, we're trying to investigate, is this potential combination not good for the mental health of young people? But again, that's something that we're going to explore. And yeah, we have provided the map, so I'd encourage your listeners to have a look at those. And, you know, you can see which area in Christchurch you live in, for example, or Wellington, and see what it would be categorised as on our healthy to unhealthy scale.
I mean, as someone based in Wellington, I'm very aware of the green spaces in this city. Is that proving helpful? I mean, how is that city shaping up, for example?
So if you look at Wellington specifically, it doesn't have quite as many of the areas which we would classify as having loads of bads and not many goods. Wellington's perhaps different to Auckland and Christchurch in that sense. But a lot of our urban areas do still have pockets of these areas which have a high density of liquor stores and gambling venues. And that is not good for our public health. And if you look at where these are located, for example, in some of our major urban areas like Wellington, for example, they're often in the most deprived areas. So we really need to be thinking about how we are creating healthy environments and whereabouts we can intervene to improve a young person's mental health.
Well, just to wrap this up, and I know you can't go into depth in the preliminary results yet, of course, but can you give us a broad overview, early indications?
Yes, I can. So when we were putting this proposal together, we did have to do some initial kind of exploratory results. And what we found was that when we aligned our maps with the mental health conditions in a particular area, there did seem to be what we expected, where we saw better mental health in those areas which had a better environment. So more healthy things within the environment and fewer bad things, even, you know, when you start controlling for other factors. So we haven't looked at this in any detail yet, but the signs are promising in terms of we are seeing things in the expected direction. But we haven't looked at, for example, whether it's more important for depression or anxiety or self-harm or substance abuse. And that's what this proposal has been funded to do. And it's been funded alongside the University of Otago, University of Canterbury, and experts from the University of Auckland as well. So it's pulling together a range of different experts in paediatric care, psychological medicine, and also kind of from a geospatial environmental perspective as well.
Thank you, Matt. Matt Hobbs from the School of Health Sciences, University of Canterbury.